Thank you all for having me. My name is Avery Lejeune. I'm an associate minister at Campus Students for Christ, which I think most of you probably know is a mission of this church. We're here in Macomb, and we serve college students at Western and even occasionally at Spoon River College. And I am the intercultural minister up there. So I haven't been in front of your congregation before like this, so I suppose it's probably not out of line for me to tell you guys a little bit about myself. I'm a local boy. Before coming to Western in 2009 to get my degree in philosophy and religious studies, I graduated from Illini West High School in Carthage, Illinois, and I grew up in Ferris. And for those of you who know where that is, you know the appropriate prayers. So please continue to pray for me. In 2013, after graduating from Western, I married my high school sweetheart. Her name is Sarah Ziegler. And she grew up in Terre Haute, not Indiana, but Illinois. And so that's a little bit about who I am and where I'm from. And before I go too far, before I get into the service, I really just want to say thank you. In the past 3 years since I've been on staff at CSC, I've gotten to know some of your congregants, and I've even worked with and been helped by some of your staff, and you guys are a tremendous support and encouragement. And I just want to say thank you for helping us and assisting us and partnering with us in ministry. So what Donnie has asked me to do today is to encourage you all to be involved in intercultural ministry. And I'm aware that my former director, Barry Reed, has been here before and spoken about international student ministry. Some of you may remember him being up here in his Nigerian garb, what he called pajamas. I assure you, they're not pajamas. I wasn't here when Barry was, so I'm not sure what he said, so please forgive me if any of it is repetitious, but I will do my best to make it engaging and that you guys can follow along and be encouraged about what's going on at Western and in the U.S. and how you can be involved right here with people from all across the globe. And in considering this topic, I think we have to start from Scripture. So I'm going to go from Scripture, and I want to jump off of Donnie's last point last week. His last point was that courageous Christian warriors need to know the true warrior. So in everything that we do in our lives, we have to know God, and we have to know God's will in it and for it. And so I want to start with Scripture this morning, and I want to start in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, if you want to turn there. This should be a familiar passage. It's become known as the Great Commission. And it says this, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And essentially, I want to make two points about this that might help us think about it differently than the way that we always have. The Greek word that we translate as go is this word paruo. And as such, translating it as go is not bad. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But there is more to it, or could be more to it. It could be translated as depart, or continue on your journey. And if you put it back into context with this understanding of more than just go, more than just ascending out, but if you put it back into context as go and as you go, or continue on your journey and make disciples. Not just this idea of sending out, because not all of us are called to go all over the world. But all of us are called to make disciples. Go, continue your journey, and as you go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. And if we know the true warrior, and we are warriors of the true warrior, then we need to understand that we are under command. We are under orders to do this. And if we know him, then we're going to have the courage to share about him, no matter what it is that we're doing. Whether you're washing dishes with your children, or spending time with the grandkids, or going to work, or playing sports, or whatever it is that you're doing, no matter what you do or where you go, as you go, make disciples of all nations. And so I want to pause here and I want to ask the question, how many of you guys are full-time missionaries? Okay, all right, some of you caught on maybe. So I'm going to have to get after Donnie. He needs to be doing a better job. Let me ask the same question, but in a different way. How many of you are full-time Christians? Then all of you should be full-time missionaries. You do not have to be a vocational missionary to be a full-time missionary. And the reason I want to pause here and make this point is that intercultural ministry, it can be whatever you want it to be. It is awesome. I mean, it's incredible. How many of you like to eat? You can do ministry and eat. Did you know that? You can be a missionary and eat. It is awesome. I have some pictures up here. I hope they're pretty clear. In the top left, your left, my left up there. In the top left, my wife and I, we just invite people over sometimes. And we share a meal with them. And we talk. And we play games. And we share about Christ. And this is being a missionary. This is sharing the gospel. This is making disciples. And we have so many occasions, by the way, that we like to eat. You have at least 3 opportunities per day that you could share a meal with someone. Not to mention the 4th of July, or Thanksgiving, or Christmas, or your birthday, or their birthday. There are so many opportunities that you can eat. We love to eat. Share a meal with someone and share the gospel. Share life with them. Ministry does not have to be complicated. It really doesn't. How many of you like to go on vacation? All right. Awesome. I love vacation. It's one of my favorite things to do. I went skiing. In fact, I've gone skiing multiple times with international students. And the bus ride there and the bus ride back and the whole time that we skied together, we can talk about God. I went to Yellowstone National Park in May, and I went with 2 atheists and a Muslim. And it was an incredible experience. They don't know God. Yet every single day, we had conversations about God and about Scripture and about how awesome His world is. And Yellowstone was a great place for that. I mean, we would see these incredible sights, and I would say, there is a God. And eventually, they started saying, there is a God. It doesn't have to be complicated. If you know God and you spend time with others, share God with others. This is what it is. And really, it can be anything. If you're a farmer, if you like to read books, you name it. As you go, therefore make disciples. Now, the second part of this is this word nations. And in the Greek, it's the word ethnos. And this goes beyond like what we think of when we think of nations. Like we think, you know, Britain or Nigeria or China or the USA or any of these places. It goes beyond this. This word ethnos really means ethnic group or people group. And so it's much more than just this idea of nations. I don't think it's that we're supposed to send missionaries just to specific countries or just to specific continents. I really think it's that we need to be reaching out to all different people groups, all the different ethnic groups. And according to Merriam-Webster, an ethnic group is of or relating to large groups of people classed according to common racial, national, tribal, religious, linguistic, or cultural background or origin. In other words, just about any group of people that have a common background is an ethnic group. Okay? So our mission field is any and every ethnic group. And the implications of this are actually staggering. It goes way beyond international students. It goes way beyond just nations. If we want to be technical about it, then inner city kids who grew up in gangs, who have a common culture of violence and drugs. This is an ethnic group. This is a cultural group. This is a people group that we are called to reach out to by God. It means that we've actually been called not just to reach the nation of Nigeria, but each of the 250 and plus tribal groups that are there. Each of them need to hear the gospel, not just the nation of Nigeria. It means that farmers, by the way, are an ethnic group who need to hear the gospel. You could even maybe go so far as to say rednecks and hillbillies are an ethnic group that need to be reached. And speaking of rednecks and hillbillies, on Thursday, Paul and I, Paul's back there in your congregation, he and I took a group of students, eight of them from South Korea, one of them from Nigeria, and four of them from Turkmenistan. In fact, it was a family from Turkmenistan that we took. We took them to the Warren County Fair, and they got to watch their first ever figure eight demo race. I mean, you want to talk about a redneck experience. This is probably the most redneck experience they're ever going to have, right? And on the way back, Paul and I, so Paul heard their voices and they were like, you guys got to sing. Your voices are so pretty. And so they sang and then they said, okay, Paul, it's your turn. And Paul's like, I shouldn't have said nothing. But you know what? He did eventually sing and both of us sang. And you know what we sang? We sang hymns. And even if it was just a little bit, on the way back from that, we got to share about the meaning of those songs. We got to share, even if it was just a little bit, about how important faith is to us. And so this great commission shows us that God desires us to see everyone from every people group, no matter where they are, no matter what they're doing, and no matter what we are doing, God desires everyone to hear the gospel because God desires a relationship with each and every one of us. There's another passage from Leviticus that speaks powerfully to this idea of international students in our nation. Leviticus 19, 33 through 34 says this. This is God instructing his people. He says, when a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall do him no wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. In other words, God is saying, look, you know what it was like. You know what it was like to be strangers. And not only to be strangers, but to be treated as strangers. We treat people we don't know differently than we treat people we know. And God's call on us is to treat the stranger who lives among us as one of our own. See, what happened in Egypt is the Pharaoh looked upon the size of the Israelite population and he freaked out. And he said, these people, they're not of us, we're from us. And he treated them as strangers. He took away their rights. And he made life miserable for them. And so God reminds them of that and says, in light of that experience, don't do that. But instead, treat them with love and empathy and compassion. And the reason I bring this up is that students who are here from other nations, they're strangers. And I want to pause here and I want to speak into something that I know is pervasive in our culture. And what is pervasive in our culture is this fear of the unknown. A person is someone that you don't know. Or I'm sorry, a stranger is a person that you don't know. And I don't know this for sure, but I can only imagine that just a little while ago when I said that I was at Yellowstone National Park with two atheists and a Muslim, some of you were probably a little bit uncomfortable. Some of you are actually probably afraid of being in the same room as a Muslim because of the news and because of what you know or what you think you know about Islam and about the followers of Islam. It's probably a little bit scary. And you know what? In some cases, maybe it should be. But in general, the students here, they're not going to be like that. It's not the case. In fact, to be honest with you, I've had many more aggressive conversations with non-Muslim Americans than I have with Muslim international students who are here at Western. just because they are strangers does not mean that we have to treat them as people who are strange, as people who are different or dangerous or scary. In fact, it is a command from the true warrior that we treat them with love and compassion. And so I want to encourage you further on this. Really, if you take the time and you get to know international students who are here at Western, you know, I think it's going to surprise you. They're humans, and I think that will surprise you. They have the same desires, the same cravings as we do, and that's to know people, and that's food, and that's shelter, and that's often even to know God, or to know if there is a God. So you don't have to be afraid to talk with an international student. They're humans, okay? Beyond that, Donnie quoted last week from Romans 8, if our God is for us, then who could stand against? What do we have to fear? We know the true warrior. We don't have to be afraid of any ethnic group because we know God. And he is with us and he is for us. The last thing that I want to encourage you here on is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, where Paul reminds us of our previous nature, of what we used to be like. He says this to the Ephesians, "Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. While we were strangers to God, in fact, more than that, while we were rebels, active rebels against God, he gave his son that we would come to know him. That is how he treated strangers. Are we willing to do the same, to treat them with love, to treat them as one of our own, to make them feel welcome? I think it's abundantly clear in Scripture that we have a commission, that we have a calling, that no matter what we're doing, we reach out to ethnic groups. And I think it's clear in Scripture, especially in light of Leviticus 19, that those who are strangers in our country, we are to care for them and to love them. And very briefly, one of the other things I want to do, so this is the calling from Scripture. This is the commission from Scripture. One of the things I want to do is introduce you to, or remind you of, if you already know about it, this concept called the 1040 window. And the idea here is this. International student ministry is one of the most strategic mission fields here in America. And the reason is this. The 1040 window lies between 10 and 40 degrees latitude. And it stretches from West Africa all the way to East Asia. And so you should think of countries like Iraq and Iran, Saudi Arabia, India, China, Japan, Nigeria, Nepal, Somalia, and the list just kind of keeps going on. Basically, anything within that window is what you would consider the 1040 window. And if you want more information on this, by the way, the Joshua Project is a good place to go and get information on it and just have an understanding of what this concept is all about. Religiously speaking, this 1040 window is largely made up of Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims, and those who do not believe in any God. And there's an estimated somewhere around 3 billion people within this window. So it's a huge portion of Earth's total population. And it has the top 50 least evangelized cities with over a million people in it. And so why is this significant? The countries and regions within this window are very difficult for Christians to get into to evangelize. Some of them are actually impossible for official missionaries to get into so that they can evangelize. And some of these countries are either subtly hostile to Christianity or openly hostile to Christianity or any form of religion whatsoever. And so when you look at it from a gospel perspective, it's a window, the 1040 window is a window of darkness. devoid or seemingly devoid of the light of God. It's a place where God has called us, right? In Matthew 5, God called us to be the light to the world. And where we see darkness, we need to bring light. However, God being an incredible and awesome God, He's brought hope into a world without hope and light into a world without light. We struggle to go into some of these places. In fact, we struggle a lot to go into some of these places. And you know what God is doing? He's bringing people from these countries right here to America, right to your backyard in the middle of corn and soybean country where you can evangelize to them. In 2006, 2007, of the 17.5 million students enrolled in higher education in the U.S., there were almost 600,000 international students. In 2017, 2018, out of just 20 million students enrolled in higher education, okay, so picture this, 17.5 million total, 2006, 20 million total in 2017, 2018. International students in 2017, 2018 were over a million. So they went from almost 600,000 to over a million, almost doubling in about 10 years. Of the top 20 nations that send students, 11 of them are from countries in the 1040 window. Of the top 10, 6 of them. Of the top 5, 3 of them. The top 4 are China, India, South Korea, and Saudi Arabia. At Western alone, our top 8 countries come from this 1040 window. We have almost 400 international students here at Western. And many of them don't know God. In fact, sometimes I talk with some students, they've never once even heard of Jesus Christ. They have no idea what he is or who he is. And I tell them I'm a minister and they're like, what on earth is that? They have no concept of anything. And I want to pause here real quick because I want to say three things that I'm not saying, okay? Three things I'm not saying. Number one, America is not the only solution to the 1040 window. Okay, I want to be clear there. I don't believe that. I don't believe we're the only solution to that. I also don't believe that international student ministry is the only solution to this concept. I am not so proud of America and of myself that I think salvation comes from America. Okay, salvation comes from one, and that is from God. The second thing I'm not saying is that there are many international students who come here who already know God. In fact, the majority of international students from Nigeria who come to Western already know God, and in fact are incredibly well established in their faith. Okay, so I'm not trying to say that, oh, these poor international students, every single one of them, they don't know God. That's not true, right? Some of them do. In fact, we have been blessed to work with many of these international students in our leadership at CSC, and it has been awesome to get a different perspective and to get to work with them. So what I'm not saying is that every single one of these students does not know God. That is not what I'm saying. The third thing that I'm not saying is that none of you guys are involved, okay? I know that many of you are, that many of you have hosted international students and done things with them, and I want to say keep it up. I want to encourage you, continue doing that, please. You are doing good work. But what I do want to say by bringing up the 1040 window is that God is sending us a message. God is speaking to us that it is time to bring light into the darkness. In 2012, the U.S. State Department reported that 300 world leaders received an education in the United States before they took power. What kind of impact are we as Christians having on international students? 300 world leaders, their time in America will greatly influence their decisions and their view of what America is like, and hopefully will greatly influence for the positive what they believe about Christians. But that is only if we are being intentional. And by the way, that's 50% of the world's leaders, by the way. In some of those high positions, 50%. Places that were once inaccessible to us are coming right here. And we have the right and the freedom to share about God with them. In Ephesians 3:20, Paul says this, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Talk about doing far more than we could ever think or imagine. God is building not just physical structures across campuses, all across the U.S. and across the world, but he is building his church far more abundantly than we could ever imagine. The last thing I want to point out about the 1040 window is that 1 million students seems really large when you compare it to what we know, to what we're familiar with. When you compare it, though, to 3 billion people in the 1040 window, 3 billion, 1 million students, right? It seems pretty small. It seems like surely there's never enough that we could do. But I want to remind you of a parable that Jesus gave in Matthew 13. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened." And I want to remind you that that which seems small in the eyes of the world is often very large to God. There is so much potential here for impact. So my last goal for today is, how can you be involved? The number one thing that I want to share with you about getting involved in intercultural ministry today is actually a program called the International Neighbors Program. John, is it a good program? Yeah. The International Neighbors Program is how I met John and Buki and their family, with Deborah and David. It's a program that's put on by Western. So it's put on by the school, and again, this is one of those go and as you go types of ministries, okay? This is where you pair up with an international student and or their family, and once a month, you're supposed to do something with them. And guess what? It's wide open. The school does not dictate what you do. They offer suggestions, but they say, do whatever you want. The idea is that the international student gets to see some American culture. And you know what? The person who's been in charge of that program, when asked, hey, can we take students to church? She says, do it. Even though she's not herself active in any church. I mean, how incredible is that? That God has placed someone there who, even though she's not active in church, is for us. Is saying, take them to church. Go with them. And so I want to encourage you to go to that. And one of the really cool things about the International Neighbor Program for me and for CSC is that the way you get involved in this program is something called the American Culture Night. And the American Culture Night this year is August 15th. That's a Thursday. It's at 6 o'clock. And it's where they invite every single new international student to Western to come and have a meal with Americans. And so Dana is always looking for new couples and new families, really any new Americans to come to there, to the American Culture Night, to share a meal. We like to eat, right? To share a meal and to get to know an international student. And it's at the American Culture Night that you can sign up for the International Neighbors Program. And so my encouragement to you, like the main thing I wanted to stress today for how you can get involved and get to know an international family is by coming here to CSC on August 15th, and be involved in that. Seriously, go to it. Get to meet some new international students. I think it's so cool that we get to host it in our building at CSC. I mean, we have a chance every semester to meet all of the new international students that come through that program. And it is an encouraging and awesome thing, and God does so much more than we could ever imagine that he would do. But you can also, of course, get involved with CSC. And I say, of course, like, yes, please do also get involved with us. Please continue to pray for us and to financially support us. We have a bike ministry you can get involved in. And if you're, man, if you're interested and you want to get involved, if you're excited about this international student ministry thing, come and see me. After the service today, I'll be in the greeting room. Come and talk to me about it. And I would love to get you plugged in. Anything that I can do to help you get involved with international student ministry, I would love to do that. If you'll let me, will you let me share one last scripture? I hope so. All right. So one last scripture that I want to share with you comes from Revelation chapter 7, and it's verses 9 and 10. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." I am so excited that at CSC, I get a picture of this every Sunday. I get just a small taste of what heaven is going to be like because we have so many and diverse peoples there. It is so exciting. And I want to continue to encourage you guys, seek this. Go, and as you go, make disciples of every people group. Will you guys bow your heads with me? Gracious Father, we come before you, and we are just so thankful that you are our God, and that you are moving in so many powerful ways. Lord, that when we struggle, when we have a hard time doing, God, you provide the means and the opportunity. And Lord God, I just pray that your spirit would be here in Macomb and upon these people here at Maple Avenue Christian Church, and that you would just work in their lives. Not just that they would reach out to international students, but that they would reach out to everyone every day that they come across. Because salvation belongs to you. God, without you, this world is lost and it is dark. And Lord, I just pray that we would be the light. Lord, that your spirit would guide us and lead us in how to do that. It is in Christ's name that we pray.